On today's Restomp podcast, we'll celebrate the fantastic 35-point Dow win over the Adelaide Crows. A lot of mixed reports coming out. Having not seen it live, didn't really know what to expect watching it on delay, but didn't think it was that bad. A lot of mistakes, but a lot of effort, a lot of intensity. The defensive work was right there. Everything we want to see from our Fremantle Dockers. We'll get the Chief on board, see what he thinks. Right after we start wearing purple with Goggle Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.
Welcome to the Restart Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who's never left Perth. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes. Hello, Jojo.
Hey, mate. Bit of a tough stretch here.
Are you actually here? Are you back?
No, I actually am. I am here.
Yeah. Turn the corner.
Look. That was the pre-podcast message that I have turned the corner.
You have turned the corner?
Having said that, the corner is probably, there's still like a fair stretch. It's like the Pinjarra straight coming around the corner, but right. We have turned the corner.
Right. We're in the home straight. I don't know what that means now.
Yeah. No, not neither.
Do you know what? You're Fremantle 2023. You let yourself go on the off season. You returned in terrible shape, had an interrupted preseason, and you've carried your disciplinary issues into the main season. That's who you are. You're Fremantle 2023.
We lost personnel.
Yeah, so I'm waiting all weekend I'm waiting, like, are we recording, Jojo? What are we doing? Yeah. And then you get back to today and then say, oh, give me half an hour, or 3 o'clock, we've got to record.
No, I got yesterday, but today's the first day of school holidays.
Come on.
Today's an absolute nightmare.
But you've got to give me more than half an hour after I waited all weekend for you.
Well, to be fair, I did give you about 2 hours' notice. You were sitting having lunch somewhere. You were just crapping on about your grilled octopus.
Octopus. Let me tell you how good that was. But no, come on. You got to – we turn the corner. That's the main thing. Have you turned the – you can tell the listeners right now, you're back on the horse. You turn the corner.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
There'll definitely be a preview pod this week. That was my fault last week. I put the hand up.
It's been your fault the last 3 weeks.
3 months.
3 months.
Do you know, the good thing is, though, at least our team's winning. And, you know, normally if you can't do it, or if, you know, there's something getting in the way of it, you know, we just do it for fun anyway. It doesn't matter. So you're just like, whatever. Hmm. But that was more like last year. This year, everything's kind of going according to plan.
I'm ruining it.
I'm sorry. No, 35-point win, 24 scoring shots to 14. Like, all I heard about in... over there in Legion was how, you know, ugly it was to watch, mistake riddled, you know, and it was to a degree, but I honestly didn't mind watching that game. And maybe it's because I knew that we probably run out convincing winners in the end, but that's probably why. But there was a good amount of effort and intensity pretty much from start to finish from Freo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's why I always watch them twice, because when you were watching that live, it was great and... But it was incredibly frustrating. But you're right. If you were watching that when you know the result and you know how it's all going to unfold, it's a different story. Because when I went back and watched it the second time, you see a hell of a lot of stuff that you, when you overlook the frustration, how dominant we were.
Even in that first quarter where it wasn't kind of, you know, it was kind of more played on Adelaide's terms, let's say, than Freo. The heat was still being bought. The tackling pressure was there. You know, we were kind of losing the ball in the contest. We were losing center clearance, I think. But around the ground, they were hitting the ball hard. The tackles were sticking. And I reckon that's one kind of thing you can look at with Freo early in a game. If they're sticking the tackles, it's an ultra good sign. And I think it means more to us than maybe it means to other clubs, because when we fall to pieces, we can't stick a tackle to save ourselves.
Do you know what? I reckon we weren't sticking them for the first... I don't know, 5, 6, 8 minutes. And they were walking around us pretty easily. But I think from that point of view, from that point onwards, we stepped it up. And it wasn't, the ball wasn't bouncing our way. We weren't, you're right, they were winning it out of the centre. They were winning it around the ground. But the pressure that we applied, all of a sudden we just like flicked the switch and that pressure we applied wasn't getting it done, wasn't winning us the on the scoreboard, but it was winning us the game, if that makes sense.
I think the key thing was just staying in the game or staying in the contest, right? Mm. Like sometimes when we go ordinary, you say, oh, where are we? You know, it looked like there's a dozen more players on the field from the other team. But I thought against Adelaide when we were struggling early, you know, we were still in the game. The guys were sticking at it. They were chasing down all those things we saw a couple of years ago when we did make the finals and win one.
Yep.
You know, when you contrast that to last year, and it wasn't there as much, or really at all, when you watch this, it's a daylight difference between this year and last year. You kind of did feel like, I would imagine watching that live, you wouldn't have felt too anxious thinking that Adelaide were going to roll us.
No, that's right. Because you thought, I mean, all along we were so dominant. It's as dominant a performance I think you can have without putting it on the scoreboard. But that what concerned me was, and probably jumping ahead here, but going into that last quarter, it was something like 11 points.
And it was relatively close.
It was sort of like, we were so dominant, but they could pinch this. They could steal this from us. So, and I was thinking
It was when Banfield kicked that goal that we really spaced him.
Pretty much it. Yeah. When he kicked that then you sort of had that, you relaxed a bit. But I was thinking about, you know, there's 13 games we played against the Crows with a margin under 2 goals. 4 of those games were 1 point. You know, I was thinking about Chappie's tap-in, you know, that 1 point win in 2022. And I was just feeling we were dominant everywhere except on the scoreboard. And I was thinking they could pinch it, they can steal it. And, you know, Fogarty missed one, Burgess missed one. So, you know, it could have gotten a lot closer than that 10 or 11 points, whatever it was. But right.
Think of some of the ones that we missed. Sonny hit the post. He got one, 2 touched on the line.
Switter.
Did Switter miss his one? Like, we missed a bunch of easy shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, their other ones came late. But you're right. When Banfield kicked that goal, you're just like, okay, yeah, we've got it now, sort of thing. But it was weird because, I don't think, I mean, we restricted Adelaide to 44 inside 50s. And just 12 scoring shots. That's absurd.
And four goals. I mean,
that's right.
That's a depressing. You think it's ugly to watch as a Freo supporter? At least we got the 4 points. Like Crows kicked four goals and came over here for nothing. Like that's a horrible watch for their fans.
Absolutely horrendous. So we're back to that 2022, you know, frantic defense first. Our football, and we still need some work up the other end, but it's getting it done for now. You know,
do you know what the difference is though? Hmm. So I reckon the difference with this team and the way it's constructed and the evolution of the players is when we played like this a couple of years ago. Sure, we might have kept the other team at 34, but we're probably only kicking 45, 50 ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I know we only got 69 points on the board on Friday, but the difference was it could have very easily been different.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was plenty of opportunity once the game opened up, once we got a bit of ball movement happening, there was plenty of opportunity to score.
But we still need to generate more scores, more scoring opportunities.
24 scoring shots is pretty decent, I would have thought, isn't it?
Say again?
24 scoring shots is pretty decent.
Yeah,
you just need to convert them.
Yeah, that's right. So but you still got to. You're not going to convert all week or every week. So you still need probably another 3 or 4 scoring shots, I reckon. And we could have had them, but not to be. The thing with it is, we're only 3 games in. So you know, opponents and whatever will distort the figures, or distort the reality, not the figures. We're ranked number 1 in defence, and we're ranked 9 in offense. We're going to 88 points a game. So we're pretty much on. I know you said about, you know, 60 points in 2022, but we pushed that up towards the end. We're probably tracking just above 2022 levels right now. But again,
it feels better though. You know, back in that year, we did a lot of back down the line play to protect the defense. There wasn't much expansive movement of the ball going forward. I think if you watch that game in from the weekend, look, it's not the most lightning kick across the ground to the fat side, but there's a number of times where we actually went back and across or went through the guts and hit the fat side of the ground and gave our forwards some room to move. And, like, I think Amos came up and took a mark. Tracy came up and took a mark and used the space that was created by transferring the ball from one side to the other.
Yeah.
It's something we haven't always had the kahunas to give a crack to. You know, we were too intent on protecting the defense and making sure there was no score against.
So we have got the big kahuna to do it now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the thing we've got to keep in mind, Jojo. Adelaide aren't travelling that well. North Melbourne, we know, and Brisbane have got issues. So I'm not – I just think there's all of a sudden we're – not us, but there's a lot of people starting to get ahead of it. We can win the flag and we're this and we're that. We've got to tone it down a bit because we haven't got anywhere near enough sample size to make any sort of outlandish prediction. I saw that stat on – I saw it somewhere, I'm not sure, over the weekend who put it up or whatever, but it was something like 87% of teams that have started 3-0 make the finals. Now
– Well, every time we've started 3-0, we've made the finals, haven't we?
Oh, was that what it was it?
I think it's happened twice before.
Oh, so it might have just been – no, if it's only been – no, I think it was every team. It starts through. Oh, I don't know. Now you've confused me. I'm not sure if I'm right or not. But
it's pretty difficult.
Very, very easy to do. But I think we're tracking well, but have we had a serious test yet? Don't know.
Well, I don't know. North didn't play too bad in their game. I'm not saying they're title contenders or top eight contenders even, but, you know, they're quite possibly not a bottom two or three team. Adelaide, I think, that performance on the weekend wasn't absolutely horrible. I just think we shut them down. You look at the way the backline held up when we couldn't get going forward. Well, I just reckon the games of like Walker, Clark, and even Ryan at times was marking Rankin. They shut those guys down.
That was the key to it, wasn't it? To shut down Rankin and Rochelle. And we did it massively. Absolutely annihilated. So, and it was by the group. It wasn't, you know, it was one-on-one at times, but it was, the structure of the back line, the ability to help out. It was, it was super. So
I think Rankin had 11 at three-quarter time, but he'd done not much.
No, they weren't influential. They weren't getting the ball in dangerous positions where they could really hurt you. So, and that was, if you're not going to completely, you know, blanket them, that's where you want them getting the ball, where they don't do any damage. So to do that was, it was sort of the, you're halfway home if you can stop those two against the Crows. And the job that Alex Pierce did, Jodo, he's in
Tex doesn't look like he could touch his toes if he wanted to at the moment. He doesn't look flash.
No, he's not.
No, but it wasn't just him. It wasn't just that though. It was the coming off the man, knowing when to go, when to stay.
Yeah.
He was awesome. He's been great all year, to be honest.
Oh, he's been awesome. And it really shouldn't surprise us because we know he's been in this sort of form before. So it was just last year where I think, you know, the drop off was so big, for X amount of part of the year, is why we sort of, a little bit recency bias that we're, but no, he's been unbelievable. And that left foot, I'm not going to say he absolutely meant it, but the audacity, that's the confidence of the guy to even attempt it. That's where he's at, you know?
So. I reckon the couple of takeaways for me from the game were, one, the way we switched the ball and used that and created a bit of space for once. Mm. But the second thing was the run of Clark and then of Jeremy Sharp. I thought the way those guys, they just ran all day. And not only that, they were running two positions to receive the footy, being patient, waiting their opportunity. They might have not always got it. There were times when Clark would be gone you know, run around the back of Pierce or whoever looking for a handball, didn't get it.
Yep.
But he'd come into it at some point during the chain coming on. He'd just follow and wouldn't give up. Same as Sharp.
Yep.
You know, give it off, run back, and there's more run. There was just constant run from those guys. And I think there was at least two or three instances where they went down the wing and had two or three bounces each. There's that one that Clark did where he butchered the kick, but yep. He just motored away from who's the tall forward? Used to be Gold Coast, whatever his name was.
At the Gold Coast.
Now he's at Adelaide, 21. Burgess.
Oh, right, okay.
He was putting panels on him, and he's bouncing the footy. That guy couldn't go with him. Not you'd expect him to, but carrying the footy and bouncing is a bit of a different story. But I just think that we haven't had much of that, really. No, aggressive run and just follow-up run, and those guys are electric.
Bounces to two for the game.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Did you like Sharp's? I thought Sharp's game was really
loved
good.
Loved it. And I loved it because 1 minute he's at either end. The next minute, he's at one end, next minute he's at the other end, helping out the defenders. I think he took a grab, it looked like it was on track for a goal. His ability and that tank allows him to just continually run up and down that wing all day. And he holds his width, doesn't he? Stays out there.
Big time.
Doesn't come in. So got us our 15 disposals, JoJo. We doubled down on him.
You notice that from one wing to the other, though? Because there's usually a Matt Johnson, a Sarong, a Brayshaw, one of these blokes out on the other wing.
Yep.
Like, there's not that width in terms of that option wide. You always see, and it makes a big difference. He's a natural winger. He's natural to the position. I think he adds a lot to our team at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. They even tried Bailey Banfield on the wing there for a while. He was on the wing.
He played everywhere. He played back. He played forward.
Hmm.
Yeah. So. It's hard to knock his game as well, isn't it? And then, you know, obviously over the past few years, I've wanted to put the vest on him. I still wouldn't mind putting the vest on him. But that guy, he played an awesome game. Like, try
he
and
really
fault
did.
It.
He really did. It. You can't. Yeah, there's when you know he's doing things like that. He's doing the team things. You can't criticize him. He's been hitting the scoreboard, don't he? I think he kicked one or two last week. You know, so yeah, he's as he's a sort of earned. He's really earned his spot, hasn't he? You know, his best 22.
Well, he's just, much like Josh Tracy. Like he's kind of said to the coach and the selectors, "Take it off me," and not given them any reason to.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. My moment of the game, JoJo. Well, Sonny Walters. He's daylight saving. You know, you wind back the clock to get more sun. He's winding back his own clock so we get more sun. If that makes sense. He was, what has gotten into him? He was ridiculous. And the work in a contest where he's knocking blokes off the ball and taking marks. And he was unbelievable. I couldn't have been more thrilled for him. And his work off the ball, that one moment, where allowed Amos to kick his first goal. So Sonny could have gone in, kicked the goal himself. But he's gone in and bumped, I don't know, can't remember who it was, bumped whoever it was off the ball so Ames could come through and soccer it. He's in that frame of mind, that team-orientated frame of mind, where that was his first reaction, to do that and it's going to make it easy for Ames. You know?
I think you're definitely right. He was definitely team first, particularly on the weekend. There were so many instances of it. But I still think it's one of those games of footy where he'd be lying in bed at night staring at the ceiling, thinking about those four behinds he kicked.
Oh.
Like you wouldn't be thinking about the 21 possessions, the tackles, the blocks, the selfless efforts, even the two goals. You'd be thinking about the four behinds. You don't get those games and those opportunities to have those kind of games where everything kind of falls your way and you're in the right spot at the right time. It doesn't happen every week.
Especially so when you're
two goals, four. Yeah. Two goals, four. What are we doing?
Oh, that would have killed.
He was awesome. Yeah.
He was. And it did, because you saw his reaction when he missed a couple. He was filthy on himself. But what is he, 32, 33? And he's thrown himself in there. It's he's found the fountain of youth somewhere. I don't know what, but yeah, two goals, four, eight marks on the day. He was awesome, JoJo.
Well, you put yourself in his shoes, though, and you start looking at this team, and obviously they've got a burgeoning sense of confidence in the way they're going about it, the way they're being coached, you know, the performances that their teammates are delivering, And you think, oh, okay, well, that, the young guys, they're going to really benefit from that because the old guys are kind of leading the way and everyone's, you know, on the same page and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. If you're a veteran, if you're a veteran on that team, you know, what would you be thinking? If I'm a veteran on that team, yeah. I'm thinking, I've got to do my bit. I've got to hold my spot. I've got to elevate myself again because I don't want to miss out on this. Like, what happens if we do make the finals this year? What happens if we do put ourselves in flag contention in 2025? Yeah. I don't want to be on the way out at that point. I want to be a person that's still selected first choice every week. So
no,
it makes everyone reassess where they're at and reassess their efforts and priorities each week. It only makes you better from where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that situation being where we are, we're on the up, we're heading in the right direction. The youngsters that can't get a gig, you know, in the game.
See Erasmus with his 36.
Yep.
No, we're in a good spot. We're definitely in a good spot at the moment. You couldn't have hoped for a better start to the season.
No, that's right. That's right. It's 3-0. You know, we're not finished talking about the game, but I'm already thinking Carlton, JoJo, McKenna and McKay. But
that'll be the challenge. Why don't we leave that till if we do a preview podcast?
Can't help but thinking about it. Or if we do a preview, where are you going? Were you chartering a jet to somewhere this week?
I don't think we'll be going far, to be honest. We're not going far.
Turn the corner.
We turn the corner. Much like I think our midfield has after last year. You know, the highlight of the day, I think, was Hayden Young, him putting himself in positions to receive the footy and being the one that was kicking it a lot.
Yeah.
32 possessions, 18 kicks. Still had 7 tackles. He brings that physicality to the midfield. That was what was being talked up when he was moving in off halfback. I thought he was outstanding, just where he put himself and his teammates as well, to find him so regularly in stride, hitting him in motion. You know, there was a lot of kicks that were kind of bouncing 2 meters before our teammates and hand passes missing.
Yeah.
But I reckon Youngie's kicks, they have purpose. They're well thought through. They go to good spots and we generally do well out of them. So I thought they did really well. And the other thing I liked in the midfield as well was Nat Fyfe's combination with Luke Jackson a number of times.
Yep.
When Jacko goes up and hits the footy, I thought a few times it looked like, oh, what's he doing here? He's just hitting it to no man's land. But as soon as he comes down, he's creating space for Fyfe to run through and attack it. And then they had that exchange, I think it was in the second quarter, where Jacko hand passed the ball over his head to Fyfe, who then hit Sonny, and then Sonny missed it. But, you know, so many little passages of play where our two kind of physical beasts that, you know, we've got the ability to just kind of monster opponents in Jackson and Fyfe.
Yeah.
They just put their stamp on the game and work together to win the footy and win it cleanly.
And you can tell it's strategic and it's deliberate because they must, I mean, they obviously talk before the bounce, you know, whatever, where they got signals or whatever, because if you watch Fyfe's work, sometimes in that center clearance, in the center bounce, he's not going for the clearance. He's trying to take Dawson out of the contest to allow, you know, Hayden Young or Brayshaw or whoever to go. So there's good connection there between them and good communication, and it's as plain as day, isn't it?
Our forward 50 stuff, you know, when Dawson is in the ruck, you know, our set plays from that perspective in that area of the ground have always been noticeably good.
Yep.
You know, we've had a number of them, even last year, you know, just channeling it down someone's throat who'd got a block from his teammate and runs into an open goal or could snap or whatever. I don't know, there seems to be a lot more instances across the ground, and maybe it's 2 or 3 pre-seasons now we've had with JL and a similar group of players playing in the same position.
Yep.
But even something like, you know, they're isolating Fyfe up the middle on a smaller opponent, and they seem to get that a couple of times, and that worked really well. Mm. There seems to be so many more instances where you can see an obvious plan and an obvious strategy that's been trained that I don't know that I remember seeing too much under any coach at Freo, really. Like, we're using mismatches to our advantage, and it's like they're being cultivated by us by forcing players to switch or forcing players into positions they don't want to be in.
Mm. No, definitely. And should we wind the clock back, Joe, to remember when you said Fyfe couldn't do it? He couldn't not be the man? Do you remember saying that?
I don't think he is the man, to be honest. I think he's playing.
He's not. He's playing the role. You were saying that he would have to be in his own mind. But he is absolutely.
That's probably fair. I did actually think that he would.
You did think that?
Yeah, no. And I thought that he'd be injured by now, and he isn't. So
yep, and he's got 300.
Good for us. Look at the difference it makes.
Imagine if you were down there. Sonny would be at the Gold Coast. Fife would be gone. We wouldn't be talking about this, Jota.
I want to hear. I can't wait for whatever the version of open mic is when Sonny retires and he starts talking about how he was pissed off during that period. Because there's no way he wasn't. Like, you give me a hard time. He didn't want to be here.
He was wanting everyone to buy in. He was wanting everyone to come with me, boys. That's what he was on about.
That midfield performance, that would be one of the more even ones we've seen in recent times, I thought. We didn't rely on Brayshaw or Sarong. I know Sarong had 28. But we got really good contributions from Fifey, from a massive contribution from Young. Jacko, whilst he had his moments, didn't actually have to rip the game apart for us to win. It was a really good, solid, even contribution across the board from just about everyone who walked a step in that centre square.
Well, couldn't rely on Caleb early. He had three touches for the first quarter. That's unheard of. They did a real good number on him.
That's his first off quarter of the year or something.
Yeah. So, you know what? This is how good he is. He couldn't get into the game. Three touches. At one stage, he went to the wing. End up with 28 touches at 12 contested. Still, even after that, Jojo, he still managed to win the Meadcastle Property Boutique Meters Game competition. Even after that start, 229 meters in the second quarter. Just crazy.
Yeah, right. Gone are the days where we need, Fife to have a blinder or Brayshaw to have a blinder. Like, we've got an even spread and we've got capacity to improve as well because, I thought Jono had a few good moments, but all in all, was relatively quiet and he would have spent a fair bit of time on that wing. What do you have, 15 touches or so?
Something like that. But he did a couple of really nice...
He did. He did.
Yeah. A couple of big tackles, and there was one there where... Oh, what was it? It resulted in Sonny's second goal, where he just had that burst of speed to I can't remember where he even tackled. I should have made note of it, but it was like off the mark speed, and he buried him, and the ball bounced out, and they got it, and down to Sonny, kicked his second. There were things like that, but I mean he wasn't on his own, but you can see if he's doing things like that now, the rest of his game will come, and he's going to be a jet. He's going to be a ripper. But yeah, you can roll him through the middle, and he doesn't look out of place there. So when you've got to push Caleb Sarong to the wing to get him into the game, or in a Brayshaw or whatever, so it's so balanced to be able to have a Johnson to come in and fill the gap. So
do you reckon James Ash still doesn't get enough credit from all of us?
Probably not, because you get a bit blasé. It's like Luke Ryan. You get a bit blasé. You'll be absolutely drop-dead surprised when he doesn't have a good game. And I think that's the thing. It gets a bit monotonous in a good way.
Everyone always talks about these bargain pickups and how this guy costs us nothing and look what he's given us. I can't really remember that narrative being strong around him. And he's been, all in all, since he arrived, pretty good.
Been great. And he was always going to be. I mean, you got a guy that is 23, 24, walking India club. Who was pick seven, whatever, has shown he can play. His best is ahead of him. We were always going to get his best. And he's just delivering that every week. So did miss that set shot and did kick one out of bounds on the full, which are a bit un-H-like. But, his overall, his best outweighs his bad big time.
And we've spoken about the defenders already, but Josh Draper played his second game. I thought with ball in hand, he was actually pretty decent. He's pretty clean with the pickups. That one-handed pickup he made was smooth as silk.
The mark.
The mark was good.
Yep.
For mine,
on a day when we were all fumbling and double-grabbing.
Yeah. No, yeah, the clean skills. Yeah. Yep. It stood out. Absolutely. The for mine, though, I think I just wanted to say he for all the good, I still don't know that he's going to be ready for next week.
Oh, absolutely. No, you could not possibly. I mean, who's he gonna get? He's gonna have to get probably Kerno, won't he?
Well, I don't think he can give him Kerno.
Well, no, but I mean, at some stage he's gonna be on him. He's gonna find his way on him. You know, through the play or whatever. But yeah, I agree. But you can't expect him to be.
We found one, haven't we?
Absolutely. You know what I love? It was, if you put his two games side by side, the amount of confidence he gained in that 7 days to this week he had the ball and he was composed and he stepped back around a player and it was just incredible that amount of confidence in a week. So he's definitely a player. You can see that. And it'll come. But yeah, he's nowhere near ready for the challenge that's going to come next week. So.
Well, the only reason I said that, I just wanted to lead that into how he did this week. And, you know, I think he got done for a hold at one point on one of the bigger guys. He just looks nowhere near big enough to mark a Burgess or a Tex Walker.
Yeah.
It's going to be a daunting prospect for him to play game number three against either McKay or Kerno or one of the other mature forwards they got going down there. Because, his learning experience is one thing, but I don't know, be wearing the brown underpants out into Adelaide Oval, I think.
I think he's got a little bit of confidence, himself.
Yeah, he does.
I heard him talk. But, yeah, it's if he tackles McKay will just keep running and kick the goal. And Drake will be hanging off and blowing in the wind. So, but we've got no option.
No.
He just plays. And it's going to be, you know, if this is his grounding and it's this is going to be huge for him to fast-track his career. He'll have to get in the gym, put more weight on and do whatever else, but that'll come. But I like getting these games into him now, you know.
So, oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of credit, I said it like a couple of episodes before, a lot of credit needs to go to Luke Ryan, needs to go to Alex Pearce, and probably guys like Brendan Cox behind the scenes, because a kid doesn't come in like this to a team like we are, who is kind of under the pump, really. Yep. I know we had the one win when he did come in, but there's still a fair bit of pressure to prove everyone wrong that we're not a bottom four, bottom five team.
Yeah.
And he's looked composed. Like you said, he's looked composed. He looks like he belongs. But I think those guys as well, you can see out in the field, they give him direction. You know, they'll chop him out. They'll take the harder opponent. They'll, you know, direct him to go where to stand. They're doing a fantastic job ushering in quite possibly our next key defender.
Yeah, they really are, aren't they? And they're just... It's for as long as I can remember, like go back to 2020 when JL took over. They've been there. Those pillars have been there, haven't they? Our defence has always been, you know, solid as a rock. And it was always, you know, someone goes out, someone comes in and they
gel. Yeah, they're like a little club, aren't they?
Yeah, they gel with the group. They're sort of a one in all in type of defence. So... Yeah, but you're right. Luke Ryan, their leadership down there, Alex Pearce, Luke Ryan, is just, it's second to none. So,
Freddie Switter and Tom Emmett, I really liked all their games as well, I've got to be honest. The tackling from Freddie and Switter in particular, I thought was first rate. And Tommy Emmett, like he didn't put up the numbers, but there was so many times he impacted the ball.
I love Tommy Emmett's game. I agree with you. Is there a... Do you know what I think? I think there's a little bit of the Josh Carrs about him. I think he's the first guy that. Did you see him bury that guy after he tackled him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to love that. Got to love it.
And then he was the first into that melee when someone got hit and he or shoved or whatever. And then he was in there and I'm like, yeah, he's got the angry. He's got that little bit of mongrel, that what we've been looking for. I like it. I like it, JJ. I think he's going to develop that.
He got subbed off for Jagger at three-quarter time. I reckon there was no more really into that other than the fact that maybe he blew up a bit.
Yep. If anything, he's still not quite up with the speed of the game in a contest when he's got the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Will that come? Maybe. I don't know. But he can do a lot of damage running through the middle if his tank builds or whatever else too, because he's got good skills. And he's part of those chains that end up successful. So, but yeah, I agree.
Jagger Amir is the interesting one, isn't he? Coming off the sub bench, like the second week in a row, you probably, I don't know if you could do it again. If you do it again, you probably can't do it a fourth time if you're a mid. It's going to be pretty tough to play a full game after 3 weeks in a row as a sub. They've got a decision to make on him, whether he comes in the team or he heads back to Peel at some point.
Yeah, and it's that's a tough call, isn't it? Because you want that experience there if you need it. And maybe with someone like Carlton, maybe he does come in at the expense of who I'm not. Maybe a Banfield goes to the bench, you know, to the sub vest. I'd be bringing him in this week.
If he comes in, he comes in for a mid, though, doesn't he? Because he did the preseason in the end on the wing.
Yeah. But he can play forward. I don't know.
Yeah. For mids that are on subs, it's a difficult spot to be.
Oh, no, it is, isn't it? So who, what are you doing? Would you bring him in?
I'd probably play him as a sub again, to be honest. I don't think you change. If you don't have to change, you don't change. Unless there's someone like a Sean Darcy coming back in and then you've got to make a structural kind of macro decision, you change it. You know, or a Chappie's played his minutes at Peel this week, which is exciting, and maybe plays a full game the week after and then he's knocking on the door. Maybe he's someone who comes in for like a Hughes or someone like that. But I don't know. If you don't have to make a change and there's no kind of pillar-type player to come back in, I don't think you make a change, do you?
No, you're probably right. No, it makes sense, especially given who there's not really a weak link in the midfield at the moment, is there? So, No, you're probably right, Jojo. I just think I don't know how to fit him in, but I just think with Carlton's midfield, I think I'd like to have a bit more experience there at your disposal if you need it. And maybe he comes in earlier if he's on the bench, if we need it. So, don't know.
So, following the win, we sit second on the table, percentage of 146. That's the other thing. I know we're talking about the low scores, but, I mean, when you're talking for and against and the percentage you end up with, I mean, we doubled their score in the end.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're holding teams on average to 60 points. I mean, it's pretty good. And we held them to what? Whatever they got, four goals. 30, 40 points, whatever they got. So, yeah, we're doing really well in that sense. There's no... And it's enabling us to win games. I think we're winning them off that defence. I know we're getting it done up forward. I want to see us get it done up forward against better opposition, better defences. But you can only beat who you're up against. You can only score against who you're up against. So you couldn't be happier. Yeah, just going back. Oh, sorry, I just thought Amos had a bit of a not one of his better games.
It's kind of why I didn't mention him. I don't think he was poor, but he didn't really seem to do much or be in a position where he could do much. He snapped that goal, which was off the back of was that Tabs who came in after he missed the shot and affected the contest?
Yeah, I think it was.
I mean, for me, that was just talking about Tabs as well for a second. I mean, he didn't have a great game, but it was kind of like typifying the attitude of the whole team that if you did make a mistake, it looked like they were twice as hungry to get in there and rectify it. You know, make sure that they impact the game. You know, don't let that moment affect you. Your next moment's coming. And Tabs' next moment came like 15 seconds later where he made the effort to get the fist in and created a goal. It just seemed like that was happening across the ground, across the whole game just about.
Do you know with Tabs, right? Kick two goals, one, right? You're right. We probably still need a little bit more from him. But he did contribute in those ways you mentioned. He had 10 touches. So if he can get to another three or four under his belt, suddenly there's another one or two opportunities at goal. And if you're a forward and you're having five shots on goal every week, it's not too bad. So there's not a lot he needs to do more to then be creating great output.
Yeah, possibly. I think his problem is how well Tracy's going, because he had another ripper game, I reckon. Like, nailed that goal from outside 50. His physicality at the contest was awesome. The way he's relieving in the ruck as well, I didn't think he'd have that much of an impact. But around the ground, he's actually – we've saw how agile and how much speed he's got in open play.
Yeah.
He's grabbed his spot with both hands. So
he has, hasn't he?
I think, you know, they've highlighted that Darcy might return against Port Adelaide. That'd be the week after Carlton. I don't think there'd be too much doubt who's going to miss out in that kind of setup.
Tabs is on his way back.
Well, you'd have to think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know? It's not a knock on him, but
no. Tracy's grubbed.
I remember saying pre-season, thought I was giving Tracy a hard time. I wasn't, but one of these guys had to grab that forward spot, and he's well and truly done it now.
I think you did say he wasn't up to it. You said he wasn't going to make it, didn't you?
I thought we might need to use him down back, and I still think there's a chance that we might need to use him down back. And then McDonald's gone in for surgery. You know, we'll see how Draper goes this week and whether Luke Ryan and Pierce are enough going forward against, you know, two really big key forwards. I know not every team has them, but other teams have got big-bodied, you know, large forwards that, you know, maybe Draper might get found out a bit about because he doesn't have the size. If we do come up against someone that's a little bit more of a credentialed opponent, we might need a bigger body. But no, Tracy's
dog with a bone. You are JoJo. You're still trying to get him down back.
No, but I, it's just the only other solution. So that's why I think that Tabs is still half a chance, and that's probably only his chance at the moment.
He might be this week. He might have to go down there this week. But do you know what? He got to 16. Competed 16 ruck contests, won half of them, on a day where. O'Brien was dominating the hitouts, so
I think that's the key with him, isn't it? That word compete, like that's just what he does all day.
Yep, it's all day every day. Do you know he also? I wouldn't mind betting. Tracy might even be our best field kick.
That one that he did, was it Sarong that he hit up?
Yep,
and like, that was an absolute bullet.
Wasn't it?
I can't imagine being on a footy field and contemplating taking that kick.
But no.
He hit it with confidence and never looked like missing.
No, that's right. And he's done it really. He's got some good skills on him. So, yeah, no, he played a ripper, JoJo. But, yeah, the Amos, just going back, Amos to me, he was in panic mode. It didn't look like he had that usual composure that he's got. And maybe that was the game. We were fumbling, we were dropping, double grabbing, we were doing it. So, and, you know, both teams were doing it. So maybe it was contagious. But he just looked like he was rushing everything. And then he tended to settle a little bit, you know, as the game went on. But, yeah, could have had a bigger game than he had, but probably wasn't one of his best. Maybe he didn't have Tracy down there enough to protect him or to assist him. Maybe that was maybe that happened.
I reckon I don't know that Tabs being in that forward line's really helped Amos. I reckon he's getting in the way a bit. Tabs definitely got in the way of Tracy a couple of times, and he kicked a goal one time, I think, because he got a free kick. But he comes across the front of him a bit, and those weird sideways leads he does kind of cuts everyone off.
Who are you saying? Tabs.
Tabs.
Yeah.
I don't know that he is working as well as what he could with either of those guys in the forward.
No. 50. Yeah. He's not working as well with Amos as Tracy does, I don't think.
Yeah,
for sure. And I know you said Twitter, JoJo, but we need more from him. We need more from him.
I reckon he was fine. These guys that play, they play the high half forward or half forward spot, they're never going to rip games apart every week.
No, I don't mean that.
He did plenty.
He did a bit, but he had two score involvements. One of them was the sitter that he missed directly in front. Like, if we need another three or four shots at goal, that we need to generate another three, they've got to come from him. They have to come from, you know, I just don't think we're getting the output from him this week that we did, was it last week, week before? I just think we need a bit more consistency from him. Happy to run with that. Cop some heat for it, but happy to run with that. So,
anyway. I think it's a bad idea. Guy finished sixth in the best and fairest last year.
Big deal. Six. What do you want, a medal for everything? Six.
Probably not far off a medal.
Sixth. What is it? The Matildas are getting a statue for running fourth. You want to give your Switter a statue for running sixth? No, I'll get some heat for that too.
Carlton this week, it's one to look forward to, isn't it? I mean, you mentioned the credentials of the opponents that we've beaten so far. I don't 100% agree that they're all rubbish because, you know, I think Adelaide are half decent. North, while they're not great, I think they're going to be a slight improver. Like, they're better than Hawthorn and West Coast. And then Brisbane have had their obvious issues. But, I mean, they played in a grand final last year, so let's not write them off either.
They just got
to delete WhatsApp.
Yeah. Oh, what about yours from the weekend? Better put
my what?
You're the chat group.
My chat group.
Oh, here we go. My chat group. The chat group. We're all in your weekend with all the crew in Bali. That would put Brisbane's one to shame. If that gets out, Jojo, you won't be
The family holiday at the Padma.
Yeah, no, it was more than a family holiday. It was really a family holiday. A bit too close family.
There was three generations of family. There was kids, us and grandparents, and we just went absolutely wild, did we?
Well, you said, I'm putting the kids in the crèche, in the thing, we're out, we're on. That was the message that came through. So, jeez. You've really let go, Jojo. Jeez.
Yeah, we really went crazy.
What's going on over in Brisbane? Playing happy families.
It's not all that, surely.
Oh, it is.
Do you know what? The other thing is, having just gone to Bali, I was trying to make WhatsApp work on my phone and my watch.
Yeah.
I reckon I spent about half a day on it and I couldn't get it. So I don't know how there has to have been screenshots of conversation because I don't know how you'd upload anything from WhatsApp to a second device. I couldn't figure it out.
That's why That's why I do not have any clouds, it goes here, there, and everywhere. I don't know where anything goes. I'll just have
There's just that, the, just that one cloud you got hovering over the top of Sam Switkowski.
Just that dark cloud. Yeah. No, it's not that dark a cloud. So, hey, Jojo, I've got it. We're tinkering up. I'm tinkering with the Mikasa Property Boutique Meters Gain competition. I'm struggling.
Not getting the interest you thought.
No, not that. I haven't put it out yet because we need to come up with it a different way because it's either Caleb Sarong or Luke Ryan that win it every week. So there's not enough alternative winners. So it's going to clog. So we've got to come up. We're going to work on it. We're going to do some more work on it. You're going to. You put it to the test. You're going to come up with some ideas, hopefully, now that you've turned the corner.
I said I'd volunteer the weekly prize for you. I didn't say I'd come up with any ideas.
No, one in all in. We're in this together. It's all that kind of gear. So I don't know how to make it work. We might have to have two. I know that's still Caleb Strong and Luke Ryan. We'll do some work on it. But there's going to be a Mikasa Property Boutique Meters Gain competition. There's going to be a great prize. And you're donating the prize, aren't you?
Yeah, I am donating the prize.
Yes. You're donating the prizes. Haven't worked out what they're going to be yet, but it'll be great. That'll be good. So going to be good, Jojo. It's going to be good. So I'm looking forward to getting that up and looking forward to our first real test. I don't care what you say. Brisbane have got issues. North are no good. The Crows are us last year. They're having their Fremantle 2023 year. That's what's going on there. Carlton is our biggest test and true test.
Of course. Hmm. Yeah.
They're good. They're going really good, you know. Like, I know they're 1 or 3, but where are they? They're 3 for... they're ranked third offensively. Got their 10th defensively, but they're in good nick.
They're not St Kilda or Essendon, but they're still missing something. Carlton,
yeah, missing something.
There's something. It's like an intangible. It's like something in their spirit. I don't know. There's too many guys that they've bought in on big money from other clubs.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just when it comes down to it, I don't believe in them. I don't believe, like, just the same way I don't believe in St Kilda, don't believe in Essendon, I can't believe in Carlton.
I'm a little bit of a believer in Carlton this year. I know, the three teams, Sydney, I'm a believer in, Carlton, I'm a believer in, and GWS, I'm a believer in them. But there's something, I know, I get what you're saying about Carlton, but there's something there. You know the other team, sorry, that are probably going to be, I give it a shake, Melbourne. Melbourne, they played Sydney, the Dogs, Hawthorn and Port. Their run's been pretty hot already. Everybody else has had North Melbourne or the Eagles or Hawthorn.
Everyone. Well, Melbourne's got top line talent. Why are they not going to be good? I mean, they've had their issues, of course.
But
if you've got May and Lever anchoring your back line, you've got the best ruckman in the comp. You've got Petrarca and Oliver running through the middle. But having those guys is enough, I would have thought. They're all in their prime.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not be a good team?
No, that's right.
You could coach them and they'd be a decent team.
Oh, I doubt that very much. But what are they? They ranked eighth. But see, they played a good opponents. But all the other teams were sort of saying that are, you know, without a loss at the moment. They've all played North or Hawthorn or the Eagles or something like that. So, yeah, anyway. What about the Eagles, JoJo? They are in dire straits. Massively.
Who?
The Eagles.
I'm not talking about the Eagles.
There we are. Let's talk about the Eagles.
No, I'm not. I've had enough. I'm not talking about the Eagles.
You know what? They had 51 inside 50s, exactly the same as the Dogs. They kicked 3 goals, 12.
Listen, I know it's funny to talk about the Eagles because they're losing, but they're going to be losing for a while. Like this, I don't know.
They're getting welfare.
They're not even. They want a priority pick now.
They do. They're getting it. They'll get it.
No way.
People want them to have a priority pick. Why? 2018, they won the flag. Like, they don't. No.
This is just time to like quietly pay your penance, and no one will give a crap about you from the broader AFL landscape and world, except for your own fans. And you can whinge and complain about whoever did this, and they shouldn't have trained for Tim Kelly, and Jack Darling does this, and whatever. They can just have their own little bubble that no one else cares about. I don't really care about it. They're going to be horrible for a while. I don't think they deserve it.
Your lack of dedication is disappointing.
They're just a nothing club now. They've turned themselves into what was like a strong, powerful club, and I don't know that. I think they possibly could sink to a lower ebb than any club has sunk to, when you consider it, all the factors they have in their favour in terms of support and bank balance and all the rest of it.
Yep,
their fall hasn't finished. Like, you can lower than it. There's a way you can finish lower than 18th almost.
Yeah. But it's disappointing.
They're going to show us.
Haven't you heard of foot on the throat? Haven't heard of
it? Yeah, but they've got all year. Got all year.
Yeah. What's your point?
Well, they're going to have some horrific losses. That wasn't that bad. Yeah. That was just morale destroying if you're an Eagles fan because.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you could sit through and watch that. Like, if someone's sitting through that, they need to get checked up on. There's pamphlets on mental health and places you can call. Like, that you'd have to be a little bit unwell to sit there and watch your team do that.
Yeah, they're doing it because they don't want to be known as, as the fans that abandon their team at their lowest. That's the only reason they're doing it. So I think they're just the amount of cardigans that are getting knitted at the footy.
So when are we playing? We're playing 1:20 on Saturday, which is a decent time, at Adelaide Oval, not at the racetrack, the Greyhound track where we played last year at Gather Round, which is exciting.
I think we're both games, we're at Adelaide Oval, aren't we?
Of course, you're going to be there next week because you're playing Port Adelaide at home. So
yeah.
I don't think they play at Glenelg.
What, 1:20? What time's that here? It's at 11 o'clock.
No, it's 1:20 here.
No, is it?
Yes.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's 1:20 there, isn't it?
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree.
Let me look it up.
So 1:20 Australian Western Standard Time on Saturday at Adelaide Oval. We'll take on the Blues.
It's 1:20 here. Yeah,
that's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. I've just seen it. Turn the corner.
We'll have the team. We should have the teams, Thursday? You get them for a Thursday and for a Saturday game, don't you?
Is that going to matter?
Yeah, no, it is. We're back on track. Turn the corner, all that
business.
You're going
to turn up?
So, Yeah, definitely will. We'll be there for the preview pod. Big game. Kurnow and McKay. Mm. That's the story. That and the midfield. So we'll have a good chat about that. Until then, are you still down with the restump?
Absolutely not. Carrying the Burden for Two is a short film that carries low expectations.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah. Since you